said about two doctrines in the Word of God. That Paul says the primary doctrine is that you're justified, declared righteous, by faith. You see your inheritance by faith. Your inheritance is you're saved, you're righteous. I get sins forgiven, you get Christ's righteousness, and you get born again on the inside, sanctified, made holy. You get all those things for free by faith when you believe. Paul calls them your inheritance because you inherit them as soon as you believe. But Paul says those things are all sealed, so you can't do anything to spoil those things. On that basis, he says, regarding your inheritance, all things are lawful, which means all things are allowed, all things are permissible. So, said last week, sleeping with prostitutes is lawful. It's allowed regarding your salvation, your righteousness, your inheritance. I picked a particularly nasty thing just to say. Your inheritance is not based on what you do, it's just not based on what you do. So all things are allowed regarding your inheritance. Paul said there's a secondary law of doctrine, what is beneficial, what is a wise way for you to walk, what is a beneficial way for you to walk. And Paul says it's not beneficial for you to do certain things, get drunk, have sexual intercourse outside marriage, sleep with prostitutes. All those things are not good for you, they're not beneficial. So Paul says all things are lawful, yes, but they're not all beneficial. So there's a secondary law of doctrine which Paul encourages people, the church in Rome, church in Ephesus, to not do certain things because it's not beneficial for them. But that's what he says is the reason it's not beneficial for them. And he explains it by saying, when they believe Christ died for sins, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within them, and he gives them peace, joy. He bears his fruit in them. He builds them up in the things of Christ, and he works in a certain direction. And Paul said, it's not beneficial for you to walk against the working of the Holy Spirit. And it's on that basis that things aren't good for you. And that basis alone, nothing to do with your righteousness, God being pleased with you because you're your righteousness. It's nothing to do with you being saved. It's nothing to do with you being considered by God to be a holy one, a sanctified born again. All those things are in the Bible, laminated in the bank. Nothing to do with what you do. So there's two types of doctrine. And at the end of what I said last week, I said that the only way you can please God is by standing upon the righteousness of God. You glorify God if you do that thing. Paul also talks about pleasing God by keeping that, by doing that secondary list. But I explained last week, it doesn't work if you choose to keep that secondary list by the power of your flesh. That does not count as God being pleased with that, because if you do that, if you try to keep those list of things, Paul says at the end of his letters that I've mentioned, if you try to keep those yourself, that is putting yourself under the law. And Paul said that is against the primary doctrine. That is against the you trust in your righteousness and your sanctification before God. But that is against you trusting those things by faith. So Paul said you're not meant to put yourself under the law to keep that secondary list. Paul says God will bear his fruit in you. He will, by the power of his Holy Spirit, pop those fruits out of you so that you so you want to be nice to your brother, so you want to not get drunk. He will pop those fruits out of you, but if he's pleased with you, he will be pleased with you regarding his own work in you. He'll be pleased with his own work in you. So he will be pleased with you if you do those things, but you can't do those things on purpose to make him pleased with you, because that's you putting yourself under the law. It doesn't work like that. God will be pleased with you if the Holy Spirit works in you and you don't get drunk, and that works out with you, and you can walk along sort of being in agreement with that. God will be pleased with you in that situation, but he's only pleased with you for the work he's done in you. The only thing you can do, you can choose to do to please God, is to stand upon the righteousness of God. And you can't even do that yourself. If you want to do that, that's the Holy Spirit working in you. So I just want to say three sort of hardcore verses regarding the stuff I've been saying today, last couple of weeks, because, well, I just wanted, but the first one's to do with pleasing God. So, like Paul said to the Romans, he said, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So, let me go over that. I want to go through each word, okay? So, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, so that means having been declared righteous by God because of your faith. It says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, which is fair enough. It says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So, it's a bit like sort of like spaghetti, but it's like possible to follow it. So, it says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, by whom we also have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. The grace in which we stand is the first bit. So, Paul says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. When you're justified by faith, you get the righteousness of Christ accredited to your account, and it's a gift. You get the gift of righteousness. Now, that gift's the same word as grace. So, the first thing is, because you've been given the gift of righteousness, you have peace with God. And then Paul says, through Christ Jesus, that happens, in whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. The grace in which we stand is the first bit. So basically he says, you can get justified by faith, and also by faith, you have access into like the gift of righteousness which you stand on. So basically he says there's a faith that gives you the righteousness in the first place, and then there's something else you can also do where you can have access into the gift which you already have by another faith. Because he says also, you can also do this thing. So you have faith when you first believe, and then you get the gift of righteousness, and then after that you can have faith that you've got the gift of righteousness. So it's two types of faith. It's two types of faith that Paul says you can like exercise.
I think they're in there. Go straight in there.
Sorry.
And of course, there's two types of faith which you can exercise to do with your righteousness. The first is the faith that gives you the righteousness in the first place. But Paul says after that you can also have access like to the gift that you got by the initial faith. So that means there's something you can do in having faith in the righteousness. And that is the thing that we're talking about, that if Satan says to you, you're not righteous, look at what you've done, and you say, I am righteous, and you stand upon the righteousness that you've already been given, you exercise an extra faith on that day. And the Word of God recognises that as something in itself. And that something in itself, that glorifies God and that pleases God. In Hebrews it says it's impossible to please God without faith. So this word talks about an extra faith that you can have. Now, the possible to please God without faith, that means that you please God with faith. Okay, so you please God when you first believed, but if there's an extra faith that you can have when you walk around, that also pleases God. Okay, so I just simply wanted to use that verse to say, you please God when you stand upon the righteousness of God. That's the way that you please God. You stand upon the righteousness you've been given instead of trying to get your own righteousness, okay? That fits in with the thing about pleasing God last week. And the second thing is, a bit late in the book of Romans, Paul talks about the gift of righteousness, and then he says this thing, right? He talks about the gift of righteousness, and if someone believes when they sin, he talks about getting the gift of righteousness by faith, and he says, in the world, in crude, like when that's happened, when someone has received the gift of righteousness by faith, even though sin is increased in them, when they believe, he says, grace increases even more. It basically says the gift of righteousness like covers the sin of a person. And if sin manifested in the world, like grace manifests even more. Okay, now then Paul says, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, certainly not. How can we that are dead to sin still live in it? Now, that in the established church is often preached as, look, see, it says, once you're Christian, you should be continuing in sin that grace may abound. Certainly not, you shouldn't sin. He doesn't say that. Like, what it actually says, Paul talks before, like he says, in the world, when there's a sinner and he believes Christ died for the sins and he gets given the righteousness of God, he gets the gift of righteousness and grace covers over the sin and it increases even more than the sin did in the first place. Okay, so Paul says, when sin increases, grace increases even more. And then Paul says, what shall we say then? Like now, like a person that just believes. So what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? And what he's saying is, shall we continue in sin so that grace can increase anymore? And his argument is if you went around sinning and then you got your sin forgiven and grace manifested in the world and God got glorified by this grace that was manifested in the world, Paul says, will we continue in sin? Will that keep on happening so that grace can increase even more and cover over the apparent sin of a Christian and God gets even more glory? That's his argument. Paul says, certainly not. And his argument is, certainly not. I know ye not that as many as of you Paul says, certainly not. How can we that are dead to sin still live in it? Right? Now, established church goes, they say, see, it says, how can you that are dead to sin still live in it? Like, how can you walk around now that you had a sin forgiven? How can you still live in sin? How can you do it to God? How can you do it to Jesus? That's so ungrateful. Like, it's not what he says. He says, certainly not. How can we that are dead to sin still live in it? He says, how is it possible? How is it possible for us that have died to sin to still live in it? How is it possible for us that have died to sin to still do it anymore? He says, it's not possible. He says, it's not possible. He says, sin, when you walked around before you had a sin forgiven, a sin was popping out of you, and then you got the gift of righteousness, and that grace covered over all your sin, and God got the glory. And Paul says, that can't keep happening when you believe, that you carry on sinning, and grace covers it over, and God gets glory. Paul says, that can't happen when you're a Christian, because how can you sin anymore when you're dead to sin? He says, you can't sin anymore, so it doesn't get covered up anymore. He says, it's not possible. And then he spends all his time explaining to you how you died to sin. And he says, know ye not that as many as have died to sin? And then he says, reckon yourselves dead to sin. Present yourselves instruments of righteousness to God. That's the thing that I've been saying. Like, he says it's not possible for you to sin because you're dead to it. The sin in you, you died to it. You don't relate to it anymore. It's not you. Sin can't pop out of you into your account and it get covered up again. Because you're dead to sin, you can't do it. So it's not possible for the, and he says it's not possible for like sin to keep on popping out of you. And of course it's not possible for sin to keep on popping out of you and grace to keep on covering up. He says it's not possible for that to happen in a Christian because you're dead to sin and you can't produce sin that gets accredited to your account and then grace increases even more to wipe it off. Paul says it doesn't, sin, acts of sin don't get accredited to your account anymore because you are dead to sin. Right. And later on Paul says, sin will not reign in you because you're not under law but under grace. Okay, so Paul says sin won't reign in you anymore. But this thing that I've been saying, that you can stand upon the righteousness of God. When you stand upon the righteousness of God, grace doesn't increase anymore because of your sin. But when you stand upon the righteousness of God, grace reigns. So when you first believe that Christ died for your sin, you walked down as a sinner, sin popped out, you got gift of righteousness that covered over all your sin. Paul says, now when you walk around, there's two things that can happen. Either sin can reign in you. Like reign is go around walking around as king in you. Sin can reign in you, or grace can reign in you. Sin reigning in you. Paul says, sin won't reign in you because you're not under law but under grace. Paul says, sin reigns in you if you put yourself under law. But if you don't put yourself under the law and you stand up on the righteousness of God, then grace reigns in you. The gift of righteousness that you've got starts to reign. It starts to pop out. It starts to pop out, and it honours God in a secondary way. God gets the glory when he forgave your sin. Grace increased in the world. God now for you as a Christian, he doesn't get glory through you when you sin and it gets covered up again. Plus, as an apostle, God gets glory in you when, instead of walking around choosing to let sin reign in you by putting yourself under the law, Paul says you walk around, let grace reign in you. That's how a Christian glorifies God. Before you were a Christian, you glorified God by being obedient to the gospel. God the gift of righteousness, God gets glorified before the angels. The angels go, God did that thing again by forgiving someone who didn't deserve to be forgiven. God's amazing, you didn't need to do that, he did it. Now you're a Christian, Paul said that's not possible for God to get glory that way anymore. How you glorify God, you stand up on the righteousness of God and grace reigns. Grace reigns in you. You stand upon the gift that you've given. You trust God for what he's already said to you. Paul says, if you do that, you serve God by being a servant of righteousness. Servant of righteousness, it's not servant of self-righteousness, it's a servant of the gift of righteousness. You serve the gift of righteousness. Paul says, you serve God by serving the gift of righteousness. So you serve God, you honour God that way. Another way is you be obedient to the truth. You were obedient to the truth. Paul said, you were obedient to the form of doctrine that was delivered to you. You were obedient to God when you believed the gospel. And in the Galatians, Paul says, who stopped you from being obedient to the truth that you're righteous? Why you put yourself on the law? You can be obedient to God. Now you're a Christian. Not by believing the gospel again, not by putting yourself under the law, but obedient to God by just obeying the truth. It honours God when a father tells his son, this is true about you. You're righteous, you don't need to have your own righteousness. You're already righteous. And the son goes, I believe with that. That honours the father. The son's actually believed what the father said. And he goes around saying to people he meets, either just in his body, the way he lives, it's like, I agree with what my father said. I am righteous. That honours the father, not putting yourself under the law. Right, the second one. The third one. And the last one. Oh, the first part. Is, this is what Paul says to the Galatians. He said, Paul said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, and yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, Christ died in vain. Right. Basically, Paul says, you're justified by faith, declared righteous by faith. Now this is what he says. If while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found to be sinners, does that make Christ the minister of sin? Right now, I'm not going to go over the ridiculous alternative meaning of this, because I'm just not going to spend my time doing that. I'm going to tell you what it actually says, and what it actually means is what it actually says. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found to be sinners, does that make Christ the minister of sin? So Paul says, if you go around, if you seek to be justified by Christ, if you seek to be righteous by Christ, you go around seeking to be righteous by Christ, not by the law, which means you just ignore the law and you operate in your freedom, and Paul says, and you're found to be a sinner, does that mean Christ the minister of sin? Does Christ encourage that sin? What he's saying is, if you go around saying, I trust Christ for my righteousness, and you ignore the law, and you don't keep the law fully, and you're found to be a sinner regarding not keeping the law, if you go around saying, I ignore the law, I don't need it for my righteousness, and you break one of the things, and you're found to be a sinner regarding the law, Paul said, does that mean Christ has encouraged sin? If Christ has encouraged you to be justified by faith, and you just leave the law behind and you break one of the things, has Christ encouraged you to sin? Paul says, no. And then he explains it. He says, if I build the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. He's saying, course Christ didn't encourage you to be a minister, and of course Christ encouraged you to sin, because Christ came and died for sin, and came to destroy the power of sin. So he says, if Christ can now encourage you to sin, when he destroyed it, then Christ would have sinned. Okay, and Paul says, now this is the reason why Christ isn't a minister of sin if you break the law. Paul says, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. What that means is, you through the law, dead to the law, Christ was nailed to a cross, and he took upon himself your sin. And the law says, the man that sins shall die. Jesus Christ was found to be a sinner on the cross, and the law exacted its judgment upon Christ. And Christ got killed. But Christ was able to be killed because the law said, this man has sinned, this man shall die. And the law executed its judgment upon Jesus Christ. So through the law, you died with Christ. So through the law exacting its judgment upon Christ, you died. That's why Paul says, through the law, he says, if I through the law, dead to the law. Because the law exacted its judgment upon Christ and Christ died. You died with Christ, you died to the law. That is why if you go round and say, trust Christ for your righteousness, and you ignore the law, and you are found to be a breaker of the law, Christ doesn't encourage you to sin because you're not under that law. And you breaking that law does not make you a sinner. So Christ doesn't encourage you to sin because you went under it. So it's simple as, you are dead to the law. You can't break it. You're not found to be a sinner by God. And it doesn't matter if Satan's found you to be a sinner. Oh, you've transgressed that law. You're not under the law. You can't sin before God. And then Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul says, the life he now lives in the flesh, he does have sinful flesh, but the life he now lives in it, he lives by faith, Son of God. Paul says, the law is not a faith. So the life that he goes round is faith in Jesus Christ. And that's it, so. Paul said, the life he goes around living is by faith in Jesus Christ, that alone is God, and it's faith that he's already righteous. The final thing I want to say is, Paul said to the Galatians, he said, for freedom that Christ set you free. Don't allow yourself to be entangled by a yoke of bondage. That's bondage, slavery to the law. What he's saying is, I want to tell you the reason why Jesus Christ set you free. Jesus Christ set you free so that you can have freedom. Jesus Christ set you free from the law, so you don't have to do all the stuff. Christ did it for you. Jesus Christ set you free. What was the purpose? Christ set you free so that you could have freedom. So he expects you to walk around in freedom of, you do not have to please God by keeping the law. He set you free for a reason. The reason is to exercise your freedom. Walk around doing, you're not under the law, you are just free before God. With the Holy Spirit in you, able to bear fruit in you. There was a bit after, but I can't remember that bit. It's probably meant to stop there. So the reason why Christ set you free is so you can have freedom. I've said this doctrine to you a lot of times, but I just want to say the weight of Scripture is behind, the weight of the Word of God is behind this doctrine. It doesn't just say it's a basic, it's all the way through. It's like recently I preached on Corinthians, of course that's the Corinthians, Thessalonians, Ephesians, Galatians, Romans. It's like all through Paul's letters, this is his doctrine. There's a primary doctrine and a secondary doctrine. Primary doctrine, you are righteous by faith, your inheritance being saved, having sins forgiven, and receiving the righteousness of God, being considered by God to be a holy one, is all nothing to do with what you do. The secondary doctrine is a wide way for you to walk, and it's the Holy Spirit's job to bear that fruit. And that's it. And so you are set free from the law to walk around in freedom. You honour God by exercising the freedom that he bought with you, bought for you for Christ, with Christ's blood. And that is freedom from leaving the law behind. The only counterattack on that is Satan can say to you, you should not be under the law. So he can say to you, you need to put yourself under the law regarding being under the law. So what he tries to do, if you think about doing anything good, he says you should be doing that good thing because that's God trying to do the law. And that's false. That's just going too far. You're free from the law. You've got to get your righteousness. you are genuinely free from not trying to please God regarding this doctrine. So you are free to do, you are free to leave the law behind, and you are free to do the good works that God works in you, like without without putting yourself in the law again. You are free to do the work. If God bears his fruit in you, then you are free to walk according to that good work. Like, that's it.